However, what is really interesting is where we see the positive selection. In our analysis, these sites are not randomly distributed. They cluster in specific regions of the capsid, especially in immunorelevant, neutralizing, and decoy epitopes. And this suggests that the virus may be involved to evade immunity or adapt to vaccines. And when we map these sites onto 3D models, we see that all of these mutations are located on the external surface of the capsids. And what that means? That means that these exposed amino acids tend to be under strong antibody pressure and antigenic adaptation, because these mutations in these regions can change how the virus interacts with the host immune system and may affect how well antibodies can neutralize it.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Through innovative solutions, cutting-edge research, and world-class experts, Boehringer Ingelheim helps producers operate with complete confidence. Learn more at bi-animalhealth.com.
Herd Software aligns your data. Guilt aligns your people. GetGuilt.com.
Stop hiring for problems automation can solve. Start with Elevate Agents.
Revenue grew, so did your hours. The owner's box, buy back 20 a week.
Don't hire another VA stuck in 2015. Hire a remote AI specialist from Latin who runs AI tools, works in your time zone, and helps your team move faster. Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io.
Zentrix OS, the business operating system built for teams who are serious about goals, tasks, and measurable results. One platform to run your entire operation.
Zentrix Insights. The right person in the right seat starts with knowing how your team is actually wired. Visit ZentrixInsights.com.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine health research digested for you. My name is Dr. Clayton Johnson, and I'm the host of the podcast. And joining me in our podcast studios for this week's episode is Dr. Eduardo Braga. Dr. Braga is a veterinarian originally from Brazil, and currently pursuing her second master's degree at Iowa State University. Dr. Braga has been working on a large project looking at the genetic landscape of PCV2 in the United States. And Eduardo, you know, your project looked at over 3,000 sequences, as I understand it, of PCV2 just here in the U.S., 3,000 sequences just here in the U.S. And I think it'd be good to start with explaining to our audience, why do we need such a huge data set? Why do we need 3,000 sequences to help map this genetic landscape and ultimately understand virus evolution of this very important virus in our U.S. pig population?
Hello. Thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here today. This data set is powerful because of the size and the period that we covered, and also the geographic diversity. We analyzed 3,300 sequences collected across nearly three decades. So from 1998 to 2025, which allow us to capture long-term evolutionary trends rather than just snapshots in time. Our sequences came from 30 different states with strong representation from major swine producing regions like North Carolina, Iowa, and Minnesota. And this gave us much more representative picture of what was actually circulating at the national level rather than being biased toward a single region or outbreak. And another important aspect is our study we combined public data from GenBank with a larger private data set from Iowa State University. And this is critical because many sequences are not public. So by integrating both sources, we provide the most updated and comprehensive view of PCV2 in the United States.
Salmonella presents significant challenges to pig health and performance and poses food safety risks to humans. As the first and only vaccine offering live attenuated strains of both Salmonella cholera suis and Typhimurium, Enterasol Salmonella TC from Boehringer Ingelheim protects pigs against both serotypes with a single oral dose. Talk to your Boehringer Ingelheim representative to learn more.
Well, what did you learn? What sort of genotypes did you find out there? And, you know, what were the most common ones, Eduarda?
So, based on our data, the main PCV2 genotypes currently are PCV2D, followed by PCV2A, and we also have reported PCV2E. PCV2D is clearly the dominant genotype in recent years. From around 2014 onwards, it becomes the most prevalent and remains consistently high over time. And this pattern is consistent with the global trend where PCV2D has replaced earlier genotypes and now is considered the dominant one. PCV2A is still present, but at lower and more variable levels. It shows some resurgence in recent years, but it never reached the same dominance as PCV2D. One interesting part of our data set is PCV2B. While it was very common in early years, especially before 2012, we observed a sharp decline over time. In fact, in the most recent years of our data set, no PCV2B sequence were reported. This likely reflects a replacement of the genotype, suggesting that PCV2B is not longer actively circulating, at least in our sampling. And lastly, but not less important, PCV2E. It has been reported at low frequency since 2012. And despite its low prevalence, it appears to be a relatively stable genotype over time, rather than expanding or simply disappearing. And this suggests that PCV2E may be maintaining at low levels in the population without undergoing the same large scale as we see with PCV2D. It likely doesn't have a strong selective advantage, but it's still evolutionary variable, and it persists in the viral population.
What do you see, Eduarda, with evolution within the genotype or within the clade? You talked about that we have some pretty big differences in viruses out there, but within those categories of viruses, do you see big diversity? Do you see a lot of evolution happening? Or no, if you have a PCV2D, you're likely to have the same one everybody else has?
So this analysis give us a direct measure of how diverse each PCV2 genotype is. So what we observe is that PCV2A is consistently shows a higher genetic distance compared to the other genotypes. And this suggests that PCV2A is more genetically diverse, meaning that it has accumulated more variation over time. In contrast, PCV2B and D show lower and more stable genetic distances, indicating more homogeneous viral population. For PCV2D specifically, even though it is the predominant genotype, its genetic diversity remains relatively low and stable for most of the timeline. However, there is a slight increase in the most recent years. And this is particularly interesting because it suggests that PCV2D may have undergone a relatively recent expansion and maybe with a successful variant spreading widely.
Very interesting. Did you have the ability to look at the geography at all? I know you looked at the state, at least, where these viruses came from or the strains came from. Did you see any commonalities with this state tends to have this strain and this other state has a different one, or no, all the strains are everywhere?
We still did not do this analysis because our main goal is compared United States with global data set, but this is a future analysis that we are planning to do. We're going to analyze only the United States data to try to identify better pairings according to the location.
Very good. You know, good research always just creates more questions. And I'm sure one of the questions that you've come up with is, why is the PCV2 virus evolving in some situations? You know, why do we see further either evolution within the clade or, you know, a development of new clades, transition, and which ones are the dominant genotypes? Are there any selective pressures that have been hypothesized, Eduarda, that may be helping to impact the PCV2 evolution over time?
Yes, we did the selection pressure analysis where we analyzed the predefined selections and also the positive selections. And most of the capsid protein is actually on the predefined selection. And this means that the virus is conserving its exosome to maintain the functionality. And this is expected because the capsid is essential for viral stability and assembly. However, what is really interesting is where we see the positive selection. In our analysis, these sites are not randomly distributed. They cluster in specific regions of the capsid, especially in immunorelevant, neutralizing, and the co-epitopes. And this suggests that the virus may be involved to evade immunity or adapt to vaccines. And when we map these sites onto 3D models, we see that all of these mutations are located on the external surface of the capsids. And what that means? That means that these exposed amino acids tend to be under strong antibody pressure and antigenic adaptation, because these mutations in these regions can change how the virus interacts with the host immune system and may affect how well antibodies can neutralize it. So, these mutations likely help the virus escape immune recognition. I also like to highlight here that most of these amino acids on the positive selections, they are not the same across the genotypes. So this suggests that each genotype may be following a slightly different evolutionary pathway, reflecting difference in natural induced immunity and vaccination history.
Very good. It's tremendous information, Eduarda, and it sounds like PCV2 is something that we need to continue to keep an eye on because the virus continues to evolve. And even if our strategies are working great today, there's a chance that we may have challenges in the future with this, you know, evolution, especially related to the selective pressures. It's very good information, very practical for our folks in the field, and really appreciate you, Eduarda, coming on and educating our audience about it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We appreciate having you on. And we also have to appreciate our audience, Eduarda. We couldn't do this without the people that tune in and listen. For those of you out there listening, thank you very much for being a part of this podcast. If you would, please give us a rating. If you could give us 5 stars, that helps to attract more people to this important information. Eduarda and I worked hard to put this good information out there for you. So if you liked it, please give us some feedback and let us know. If you haven't been to our website, please check out swinehealthblackbelt.com, where you can see this episode with Dr. Braga and all the other good episodes we put out every Friday. For Dr. Eduarda Braga, I'm Dr. Clayton Johnson. It's been our pleasure to have this conversation with you, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.